Hey, what's up, everybody? What a show that we had today. We talked about all the action that we're seeing in the NFT market, including Mutant Ape Yacht Club clearing a 30 Ethereum floor. What a long time coming. The underwhelming reveal before the reveal of Beans, which is the Azuki companion drop. And of course, the face-melting pump of Aku, the moon god, Akutars. And Micah Johnson himself, the creator of that project, came on the show to do a deep dive and talk about all things Akutars. I think it's a fantastic listen. Definitely really excited for our audience to kind of absorb all that information. As usual, all of our content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up on the mobile app with the code THENIFTY or at thenifty.com/FTX. Hope you enjoy the show. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the NFT Morning Show. What a morning that it is. We have Micah Johnson coming on the show later today to discuss the Aku the Moon God Akutars project. I'm really pumped to be with everybody. Mutant Ape Yacht Club, there's clearly some sort of alpha leak. We're pushing 30th floor on there. Moonbirds are retracing. Everything is going according to plan. Nick.
Yo, fuck that retrace.
Yeah, just to be clear, if you own a lot of a project, they can just come on and pump
yes,
their bags.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. Yep, just we just sidetrack all, we throw all the rules out the window.
Well, Nick, guess what? You've been totally redeemed today.
In what way?
Last night, someone leaked and listed out a certain amount of projects that will be auto whitelisted to mint the other side. Bored Ape Yacht Club, Centerland, Mutant Ape Yacht Club, Midland, and then CryptoPunks, MeeBits, Cool Cats, Nouns, World of Woman, and Toads, all able to mint the outer land.
Yeah, now, I saw this, that.
This rumor sent the prices of all of those projects through the roof. So if this guy is wrong, then this is perfect cover for you. You know what I mean? You did nothing wrong. You only pumped one project. This guy pumped eight.
Oh, you're talking about like fake news. I see what you're saying. Dude, no, I only have the highest of journalism standards. So let's not even get
someone
into that.
Someone literally tagged you in the thread and said, was all Nick your source?
I did see that. That's unfortunate. You know, there were only like 10,000 people that saw me disclose what I believe to be verified information, unfortunately. So, you know, it'll always serve as a good joke.
And Nick, I think you kind of alluded to something like this where you kind of saw maybe like Ape Land, there'd be like different neighborhoods. I think it was you that said this, like different neighborhoods for different projects, and you go do, you know, quests in there.
I thought you were the one that actually said that, but I appreciate you crediting it to me.
Yeah, well, I think we were kind of just having a conversation. So we both kind of got to that conclusion together. But what's interesting to me is if just these projects are auto whitelisted, how does that, you know, play out strategically for the other side land? I can see some pros and cons personally.
I can't answer that, but I was thinking this morning on a completely unrelated note. This is some ADHD. Switch here, but you remember having Drift on the show like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, dude, I just finished up my 500 burpees this morning.
Yep.
Dude, I now, you know, I've been now doing for like 5 days in a row, 1,000 burpees and 1,000 pull-ups, you know, right,
yeah,
before,
sure,
all before 6 a.m.
I'll take lies for $1,000.
I would believe 1,000 burpees before 1,000 push-ups.
It was pull-ups.
1,000 pull-ups,
sorry.
Yeah.
No,
I would believe
my back is jacked,
I believe 1,000 burpees before 120 pull-ups.
It is a lot of pull-ups. Is 1,000 burpees even within the realm of possibility? These just seem like ridiculous numbers. Like
the course of a day, you could probably do 1,000 burpees. You'd be sweaty at the end of the day. I don't think you can do 100 pull-ups in a day. Pull-ups are hard.
I'm gonna have to test out this number, but like, doesn't it like get bad for your back starts hurting at some point? I don't know, but like, I was just like, yo, this guy is doing 500. I'm being lazy. Like, what the fuck is going on here?
I'm glad it took Drift to help you understand that. To help you understand that you don't exercise enough.
We even own a couple of them, right?
Yeah, we bought what his NFT. Yeah, we don't own his workout that, routine, right? But yeah, we bought the NFT. No, we didn't buy the top. We minted it.
Oh, okay. I thought we bought the top.
I mean, it technically is the top, but we minted it.
Okay. Well, I still bought the top with Moonbird, so that was fun.
That was good.
I'm just a top signal, so that's anyways. But regardless, sorry for the complete tangent. This has just been sitting with me this morning. I'm like, what am I doing with my life that I'm not living like Drift? Doing 500 burpees. I'm not climbing to the top of a tower without any sort of restraint or any sort of safety harness. Like, why am I not doing that? Why am I not walking to the edge of sort of the world's tallest buildings with just like my foot and my face perching over the edge of it, looking at what would otherwise be the fall to my ultimate death here? Like, why am I not doing that as I wake up each morning? That's something I've been wondering about.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're not
like
eating
a midlife
right.
Crisis.
That's, okay, fair enough.
Well, anyway, we'll work on that, Nick. We'll work on you challenging yourself mentally and physically. I'm happy to hear that you're in good spirits, though, despite the top buy of Moonbirds. I think that shows that everybody's like still hyper bullish on Moonbirds, but it's trending.
No. I'm just anticipating losing $30,000 on this.
No,
like,
no, absolutely no, not.
Here's the counter argument, and I'm still bullish on Moonbirds, but like. Yo, I could buy a Soho House membership for 30 years based on the cost of like one Moonbird. So which one's the club? Like what?
And, dude, Soho House sucks, dude. If you bought 30 years there, I would make fun of you so
actually,
hard.
Actually, shit. No, now I'm down 5 ETH. So I'm already down literally 25%. So we're looking at like a solid $15,000. Hell so far here.
I just
lost 10 years of a Soho House membership. So
here's the thing, man. If you buy stuff over 10 ETH, you just have to have the stomach for things to like swing. That's just the name of the game.
Someone yesterday was like, yo, why did you sell a Huxley comic for 0.8 ETH? And I was like, yo, did you see what I bought on the show yesterday? Like, I got to pay for this shit somehow. Like, I can't just, like, hold on to, like, all of my NFTs. And I have a bunch of those Huxley comics. And they were like, oh, you sold it before. There's an announcement, which we don't know what the announcement is. They tweeted 4/20/22. That's the whole tweet. So now I'm supposed to be like, yeah, if I hold on.
420, bro. 420 YOLO.
But I feel like.
Stop being a little fucking wuss about your Moonbird buy, okay? Like, you literally got a 50 grand airdrop for Dead Fellas just out of the fucking blue. You're playing with so much funny money, I'm going to start calling you the Monopoly man, okay? So you don't need to be worrying about buying a blue chip at 21, okay? You could have bought a Zuki at 17 and it went all the way down to 8. And then it went to 28 and got you 10 ETH of airdrops.
There we go. That's what's going to happen. There you go. Yeah. Okay.
Dude, you're sailing out in the open sea, man. There's going to be storms and stuff like that, but you got a nice looking boat. You're fine. It's not like you mortgaged out your home or you maxed your credit card for this. So
I've been meaning to tell you,
actually,
Captain Kicks. I've been meaning to tell you. I started using credit cards on OpenSea recently.
Oh, no.
And I'm just kidding.
Here's the thing, Nick. A lot of people in their midlife crises, they go try to pretend to be like Drift, and they actually die, or they buy a really expensive BMW, okay, and they drive around all day and waste a bunch of time. At least you just bought a Moonbird, okay? So doing fine, buddy.
Dude, I'm gonna be flexing that all over the city. People are gonna be like, "Yo, what the fuck is that on your shirt?"
Yeah, you're gonna go up to an attractive lady at the bar, and you're gonna be like, "Hey, how you doing?" Like, hoot hoot, and she's like, "This guy is a weirdo," and just like completely walk away. We got the weather report in front of us, prepared by the lovely Signal. It's my day to talk about the weather in NFT land. So we had a very wild weekend, as we all are aware of. Moonbirds creating some pretty wild volume action for us. Our overnight volume was 164 million. So we're still just pumping numbers above 100 million. Looks like some of the liquidity from Moonbirds is starting to trickle around into other areas of the NFT world. So Bored Ape Yacht Club dogs are up. Mutants are up as well, almost to 30 ETH. A lot of this is probably off of some of the illegal rumors going on around the other side metaverse. Ironically, these things are moving up more than the mint price of the land, but some of the rumors are that Bored Ape Yacht Club and Mutants will get land in the middle, and that could have some
in the premium. middle of a land we have no idea what the fuck it is.
No, it's a good spot, launching. Right in the middle.
Yeah, I drew a circle, and I've placed you in the middle.
Yeah, and logically, you know, land location only matters in the physical world where you can't instantly teleport somewhere. So we'll see how that all plays out. But hey, subjective value does have value. I think there was also a leak, like the mutant land has like radioactive material underneath it, so you can be mining that uranium. All that good stuff.
Out of here.
I'm just telling you what I've seen.
Dude,
this is the weather report.
The Cool Cat Land has milk, and if you dig deep enough, there's also an acquisition form from Yuga Labs down there, and it's crazy.
Azuki and Beans saw an overnight sell-off, a little dumperino, but it has retraced back somewhat. World of Woman collection bouncing off recent lows. World of Woman went all the way down to 6.5. All it took was a rumor that they're whitelisted for other side metaverse land to get them moving back up. Galaxy's back over the mint price, but barely. Cool Cats went on a little run. Once again, because of a rumor that they're whitelisted for other side land. We also saw Meebits go from 4.3 to 6.37. Guess why? Rumors that they have whitelist for the other side land. Seeing a trend here. On the last 24 hours, we had Murakami Flower Seeds actually beat out Moonbirds for 24-hour volume. There was a sell-off over the weekend because more people were able to mint. But the floor is back up above 6 ETH. Moonbirds, slight pullback down to...
From Nick's top.
Yeah, down to the 16 range from the 20-ish range. Nesting will begin at the end of the month, so we got 10 days or so for that. There is... Beans Collection had a ton of volume up and down. That was because Azuki team introduced the Beans lore. VFriends Series 2 mint paused again. 9K out of the 32K have been minted.
Kicks, we lost you.
Yeah, you got out.
Is there a storm?
Yeah, there's a storm blowing through. What is going on?
He's got his
here?
Raincoat. He's holding the mic up to it. He's got the headphones on his ear.
Oh,
that
sounds like crazy weather out there, huh?
All right, well, Captain.
Another big move in Ape. Ape up 10% today.
Right back, smooth as ever.
Kicks, can you hear
back
us?
Up. You can't. Can you not fucking hear me?
We couldn't. We couldn't hear you for like 15 seconds, and you just kept talking.
We'll fix your damn audio over there in the studio, okay? Because I'm live at the center of the action right here. Okay? It's not up to me to make sure you can hear me, okay? Get a better Wi-Fi over there in the studio. Okay? Okay. Last thing on the thing, Ape up 10%. Guess why? Rumors that Ape is the only thing you can use to get into other side land. So lots of
And rumors that I sold my fucking Ape. Are you kidding me? To buy the top of Moonbirds? What an awful fucking trade. This is... I bought more yesterday, but I mean,
Nick, I mean, look, I said if you're going to buy
that You said
that
this
Moonbird,
was the best trade ever. That's what you said on the show. I just want to say that. You were like, Nick, I stand by this. This is not going to cause you any issues. I'm looking forward to you never discussing this ever again. Best trade ever.
I said if you bought it, you had to live with it, and I didn't want to hear about it every day when we're in meetings.
It's not
going to
be
shows.
Every day, okay? It's just going to be for the like coming like until it goes down to like a lower level and I'm fully down like $30,000. Like that's what we're aiming for here on the retracement. One thing I will say, which I would like to break the news on, Moonbirds is getting a more central land location inside of Bored Apes, you know, new land, more central than even Bored Apes. It's insane. I can't believe that Kevin Rose facilitated this deal, but here we are, breaking news. There you go. I Moonbird,
it is not breaking
to the
news.
Top, going to 40. Back to you, Pio.
I'm calling from the outer rim here, which is that I live on the fucking outer rim, so I'm loving that, man. Because we're no one's going to the parties in the middle of the plot, man. The bangers are popping off on the outer rim. Come see me, Tupac. This is where all the good stuff's going down.
You are not hanging out with Tupac in the metaverse, Captain Kicks. Any other additional comments on the weather?
Yeah, just closing thought. We're coming off a lot of volume from Moonbirds. It seems to be trickling around in the markets. I still think that we're going to see a trend of a lot of people preferring to buy the new hot stuff rather than things that have been sitting on secondary for a while. So, you know, other side land is going to take a lot of attention. That could take attention away from Moonbirds, lots of other projects. Wouldn't be surprised to see some more pullbacks. But yeah, I think just the trend for the next couple of months is people are going to want to keep money on the sidelines, and they're going to wait for new opportunities to just throw a lot of that cash around. I also, on the ground, I do have some sources that seem to not be confident in the rumors about the whitelisting. So we'll have to just keep.
All right, what rumors are you talking about?
The rumors are circulating all over. They're all over the place, Nick.
Which allow list are we talking about here?
Were you paying attention when for half of the weather report, when I tied every single price action pump to the fact that they're whitelisted?
Oh, yes, I did. That's not an allow list, FYI. Oh, that's just where they're getting.
It is an allow list, dude.
Okay,
it is.
Okay, fine, it is. All right, well, there we go.
Why don't you spend your time just refreshing the Moonbird's floor price? And then
well,
also,
it's going down. That's what's happening.
And then refreshing,
and it just keeps falling. So, like, can we do something about that? Jeez.
And then refresh in the other window, the ape coin going up, and just really let that sink in. As we leave the show here, okay?
And Akutar's going up because you just didn't want to buy those for 6 months, I guess.
You said not to Akutar buy them. This has been some bad trades.
Just so everybody knows, when we do a Netflix show, the name of the show is going to be Bad Trades, and we already talked about that. It's going to be pretty exciting, but that's not going to be for a couple of years. We got to obviously build up the portal quite a bit before
and
we start taking
our
Netflix
money.
Stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, Captain Kicks, any closing thoughts before we move on from the weather report?
Yes, thank you, Pio. I was just saying that my sources on the ground seem to think that rumor going around isn't entirely true. So I think that before you blindly ape into some of these projects to get access to the other side, let us reporters out here do a little bit more due diligence for you. Thank you very much.
Okay. And, you know, since Signal took the day off from the weather report, I always like to ask if she has anything to add. Anything to add to it?
Yeah. While I'm just having a fantastic day off in the sunny NFT markets, I think something might be there on this allow list stuff, because since early last week, it seems that somebody knows something, because there's been growing steady slow volume on MeBits and CryptoPunks, like very quiet, very steady, and then all of a sudden I think towards the end of last week CryptoPunks had about 12, 13 sales in a day. So I feel like somebody knows something, but it might not be the entirety of that list. It could just be the Yuga Lab brand. So BAYC, MAYC, MeBits, and CryptoPunks.
Okay.
I was just going to say, with mutants pumping, it's not like, I don't understand. There's no like, is that alpha? Like, doesn't everyone know that apes and mutants are going to get access to this? I feel like that's the thing. I don't know, it feels weird. Maybe it's just like so is this imminent, the land drop? Is that what we're anticipating here?
It's going to be probably within the next 10 days. Also, I think that maybe there's more clarity. So now it's the rumors are that you'll get one airdropped and you'll be able to mint one for owning a mutant. So like, you know, you have the ability to get two. So maybe like clarity on those rumors is what's getting people excited.
Yeah, I think that at the end of the day, everyone had their liquidity ready for Moonbirds, and now it's shifted to what everyone was originally talking about, which is the Yuga Labs land sale, and specifically trying to get their hands on some CODAs, as Wapi was talking about the other day, and we'll definitely talk about that. Signal, one last question. Any thoughts on Huxley and what this 420 announcement could be? Kind of an interesting play to do a marijuana-related announcement when you're kind of a comic book, right?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what it is because I thought Comic 4 was coming out early May. So I'm digging to try and find out what that is, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. Signal doesn't want to speculate. She doesn't want to make up something random and have us run with it. Thank you, Signal, for your integrity.
Were you like throwing shade at me there? I don't know. It felt like a little
felt a little dirty. Felt a little dirty.
Just messing around. Node, anything to add to you? I know you have your ear to the ground. Anything to add to the weather report or what you're seeing out there in the NFT markets?
No, I just have a question on beans. I would be very interested to get people that do not own an Azuki, what their thoughts are on beans. And I do have an interesting take on it, but would love to hear other people's thoughts.
I got some thoughts on these beans.
The memes are so funny. Like one of the tweets was like, Azuki team says, you're getting beans. The NFT market's like, it could be anything. And the Azuki team is like, it's beans. And it's like, man, I can't wait to see what it is. And then the Azuki team just says beans. And it's like, man, who knows what it's going to be? It was beans. That's what it was. They said what it was for like 2 weeks. It was beans. And everybody's appalled by it.
Yeah, my thoughts on the beans were that they just stole those stickers from the 90s of like your favorite team in sports peeing on the logo of their opposing team. It was a great attempt at I don't even know what, but the other thing I saw was like them saying, yeah, we released dirt as a joke and then we had to make it into something because everyone wanted it to be something. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't like how they look. If this is like their companion drop, I think they dropped the ball on it. I'm hoping the beans sprout into something. But I have no exposure to the Azuki ecosystem, so this literally does not matter to me.
Well, Node does have exposure, so what do you think of it, Node?
Yeah, so, you know, I thought the same thing as you, EZ, initially. I was like, I'm not a fan of the art. Like, and what's funny, too, is I had the same, you know, that tweet that Pio just mentioned. I like, kind of had that initial reaction of, like, oh no, this could still be something else, right? Like, even though they clearly showed those images originally, I was still kind of thinking, yeah, maybe this will be something else. But there was a guy that tweeted something about like understanding beans and looking into a few other brands. And I honestly haven't even heard of these other brands, but I think they're, you know, it's like, other than Hello Kitty, for example, there's all sorts of these brands that are very similar looking, that are more Asian, right? More Eastern. And they've done extremely well over the last, you know, I don't know, decades or whatever. And this type of art is actually, you know, it's almost like another component of like Asian art and everything like that. So it doesn't look like anime, but it does kind of cater to the same audience. And, you know, talking to a few other people, you know, we all kind of, some of the guys in a Discord I'm in, they kind of chatted and said, oh yeah, like we don't really like these either, but then they showed them to their wives or somebody else and other people like love the art. So I think like they actually may have nailed it in a way. It's just, it may not have been what we were initially expecting.
No, that sounds like, I don't know, late justification. I mean, what people loved about Azuki is they're not that, again, it's like, it's co-opting anime culture. It's not like this was just like a niche anime fans. Let's face it. It's the same freaking, you know, rich white guys buying the same stuff. So what they liked, or what I always liked about Azuki was it really, the art was so freaking elegant and so cool. Yep. And so I think that's what people really gravitated toward and helped it like sustain as a profile pick, that kind of thing. So
hey, Jesse,
even if there's a separate anime subset that's like this bean thing, that's not what people thought was cool. So this is just like a brand kind of management continuity fail in my opinion. I just don't think it's the same thing. Even if there's other people that would have liked the beans in a separate project, I just don't see how it's an extension of Azuki.
Jesse, do you like Steve Aoki?
It's all right. He's not that. I would like a cooler face for the NFT space. I know somebody that dated him, and he's not that interesting.
I read a rumor last night that Azuki, right? A-Z-U-K-I, zoo in Japanese means without, right? Without, or like zero. So if you replace zoo with a zero, you get Aoki, Steve Aoki.
I like that. I like that. I like all, everything about it except the fact that Steve Aoki's involved, but I like the theory.
Yeah, I mean, look, what I will say is that it was probably the worst time for an underwhelming reveal of any part of a big-time PFP project because everybody was so hyped up about Azuki 3 weeks ago, right? Before Moonbirds, before Yuga Labs land sale. You know, at NFT LA, Azuki had the big party that everybody loved. People love the art because the art is really good. But it is a PFP collection. And I know we have the narrative of it's such a good team, it's such a good team. But at the same time, I don't know who this team is. I'd definitely be open to having them on the show, obviously. But I don't know who the team is. But everyone has this narrative of it's a great team.
I just said it, P.O. It's Steve Aoki and then a bunch of ex-Google engineers.
Yeah. So, but just to finish the thought, Nick, it's like right now after Moonbirds, now everybody's like, wait, NFTs have to have, or like NFT collections, right? Like non-fine art NFTs have to have a real substance to them. They need to have a real utility, for lack of a better term. And so like if you're just a PFP right now and you have an underwhelming art reveal, that's really not a good look at right now. There totally could be like a little bit of a trend shift where people are like, oh my God, I want like the fly PFP again. I definitely think that we'll see that, especially after maybe Moonbirds cools off a little bit over a period of weeks or months. But right now is not the time that you want an underwhelming reveal on a collectibles collection. Nick, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say, I really like the wordplay here and spelling, messing with that. But I tweeted last night that if you rearrange a portal, it actually spells tortoise as a slow and steady wins the race. But what there's also some codes in there implying the future floor price. So if you dig around there, you'll see that it's definitely if you rearrange the letters even more, it says it spells flip Moonbirds. So it's actually that's actually where we're headed. And we have a plan for that. So I'm really excited about that. That was all intentional when we originally named it Portal.
Look, I'm not gonna call a Moonbird flip because I'm not that bold right now. Maybe
wow,
actually,
come on. You gotta wear your confidence.
That's a big call. I'm calling a Journey crypto flip. All the Journey crypto people listening, I'm calling a flip. We're going to flip that project. I'm telling you. Jesse, what were you going to say?
Not financial.
No, I'm just giving you that it's really hot out here on the outer rim. So I'm just cooling myself off here with a carton of lemonade. Hold on one second. Okay, that was refreshing. Hey, yo, Pac, you want some lemonade? Yeah, I got three cartons here. So, you know, I can do whatever I want. I was hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein here on the outer rim. Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself, by the way.
Some friends, Jesse.
No, but seriously. I mean, he didn't kill himself. But seriously, on another point. On this, yeah, really what happened with the Moonbirds is, like you said, there's so many people that were like, this is like a momentum, this is like a vibe shift, if you will, for the kids out there. This is like a change in the NFT space. The PFPs are dead and you have to have utility. And what I think is sort of interesting is that I think that, you know, is that there's kind of a supply squeeze on that whole niche, right? You can't just spin up the next Moonbirds, right? With Kevin Rose. Like when it was like, PFPs and rabbits, it's like literally like, right, you'd see the derivatives in 2 hours and then you could have like three more rabbit projects. All you need was a Solidity dev and they'd be there. Even with the games, right, you just took the wolf sheep code, right, and there was like five derivatives within a week. You can't just create the next Moonbirds, right, whether it's say it's like, I don't know, Ben Thompson from Satechery or Chamath, I don't know. Help me out here, Nick. One of these VCs, like they're not going to just come out tomorrow.
Chamath.
And come up with their own projects, right? It would take like a month. And so I think when you normally look for, okay, I can't get into Moonbirds. What's the next utility project? Okay, you got BFF, you've got Pool Suites, you've got the card.
The Lyrical Lemonade one, the carton.
The Lyrical Lemonade. Whatever.
Flappy Boys is another great utility play.
Yeah, the Crocolips.
So I think it's kind of interesting that there's a kind of a squeeze. There's not like, it's a little bit inelastic because you can't just like spin out new equity, and not equity, but like, you know, these like high profile projects overnight.
And just shout out to Jesse. So if anyone wasn't aware of the Lyrical Lemonade carton price action yesterday, it was pretty wild. I'm happy I got to participate in it. But out of the blue, Gary V swept 7 ETH worth of Lyrical Lemonade cartons, I think in like the 1.1, 1.2 range. It goes on an
absolute. He bought him for 1.4 to 1.7.
Okay.
He paid well over floor.
So you must have just picked ones you really liked, like from an art perspective or something.
He bought some of the good rare ones too, like the ones that have a little bit more than just like the carton. They got a little bit of the extra stuff on them. And then they did an AMA last night. I don't mean to steal your thunder, Kicks, but I'm so bullish on the cartons, it's not even funny.
Well, you only own one, and Pio only owns one.
Yeah, we're idiots.
And that's pathetic, because I literally bought yesterday, and I own two. I own twice as much as you all, and I bought yesterday.
Yeah, but Kicks, this is what you got to talk to the creator yesterday. Me, not you. Yeah. Screw you.
So, Kicks, you are a badass for sneaking in and having two. I'm the biggest bozo on the planet for literally screaming this from the rooftops and only owning one. I did get in for a good price, so don't fade me. But Easy got asked to come onto the stage yesterday. I think if I was there, they probably would have asked me to, but Easy was there and he got asked to speak on the stage and he got to actually hang out with the Cole Bennett, the creator, the music video director phenom, about the project. And Easy, it sounds like they kind of get what's going on, right?
Yeah, oh absolutely. It was like crazy to hear just how in tune they were. I asked them too, like, what was the first NFT you bought and what was the most recent one you bought? And obviously, like, they're not like, oh yeah, well, I'm buying this to trade it. He even said, like, I haven't sold NFTs. I just buy the stuff that I'm interested in that seems cool. Said that he bought some Atom Bomb Squad because he wanted to understand how they do, like, the clothing rollout and that merch gated tokenized because they have similar ideas. They talked actively about how he bought Creatures and Creature World because he was a big fan of Danny. And then ended up being his most recent purchase was those Claylings. I didn't know enough about them, but it was, like, that 3D art style, somewhat realism. So it seems like they have their ear to the ground too. I mean, their team is very, very in tune with it all. They were openly talking about like how they want to just continue to kind of spoon feed value to the holders and how the roadmap is not even 50% of what they plan to roll out. And then Cole actually had some very kind comments towards the Nifty and said that one of his biggest and kind of favorite things from watching the video where we talked about it was actually how Wappy did have some pushback on the project and some uncertainty and hesitations on like how this could go to zero and how Pio and I were actually kind of just talking through what we felt would kind of combat that. And he said he just really liked how it seems like everyone on the panel and team was very transparent, very open-minded, eager to have dialogue and accepting of pushback because that's exactly what he wanted. Obviously, criticism breeds innovation and kind of drives more value out of it. So it seemed like they just got it. It was a nice change of pace from some of these like 10Ks we get into where people are like, yeah, $65 million, chump change. This guy was 500 supply and a 0.2 mint, and their only goal is to just keep doing more real life events. They just did some vote in the Discord where they've been teasing that the person who's been like the most active in the community is going to have some form of like life changing experience where I assume they're going to be either flown out or treated to a very special kind of intimate lyrical lemonade experience. But they've also been teasing like an NFT NYC event. They love to do things and kind of put things on somewhat last minute like that. They've obviously got the summer.
All I need, Easy, since you're so close with these guys, buddy's getting flown out all over the place, hoorah, you know, showing up to live shows. I need you to tell them. Is this all
because of his golf game? I'm just saying, like,
Easy was the best at golf.
We just need them to tweet carton equal proof of music from their official account. That's all we need. I can make the rest run after that. But I just wanted to quickly.
All right, let's see him. I got you.
The price action yesterday, Gary V buys, the floor price pumps to 2.4 ETH, but a bunch of like flippers that want to sell in 15 minutes got in. The floor went from 2.4 all the way back to 1.25. I bought two off of people that lost 0.6 ETH both. Jesse bought the literal bottom at 1.25, and now the floor is back to 2.4.
Allegedly, I was driving in my car at the time when I saw that 1.25 and I hit by so fast. I mean, I think I almost, you know, hit a biker, but allegedly. But I had no idea why that price dropped. It seemed clear at that point that price discovery was happening. I missed one at 1.1 earlier in the morning and I'm just like cursing myself the whole, it's going to ruin my day, right? It's, you know, you guys know how the NFT world is, right? It's like two of my curtains are pumping and I'm just furious that I haven't bought a third. And then it went up to 1.9. And remember, Gary V bought several. That means there's really like 495 in circulation. You start taking them down, like there's not going to be very many of these in circulation. But it went back to 1.25. I got the second bite at the apple, which you never get. So I got lucky. Your Kicks got in. I just want to say on the trading side, there is something here that's probably worth mentioning. I was trying to get in once Pio and Easy sold me on it. I was trying to get in under one, right? They were at 0.85, and I'm throwing 0.75 offers at these people like a cheapskate, right? This is about a week ago, 5 days ago, because I'm like, why not? Like, it's going down. I think I can get cheaper. But my thesis for this the whole time was not like this is a momentum trade where it's like, I'm going to buy this at one and sell it at 1.3, in which case, you know, it really matters the margins if you get in at 0.9, 0.88. But my whole thesis this whole time is that this could run to 5 or 10 ETH. It's not automatic, but that's the thesis, right? There's a good chance that's going to happen. So the, you know, the expected value was bigger. So when you think there's like a potential 20X, even if it's like a long shot, you don't have to nitpick on the early side because that's not really the bet. And so I missed out on 0.7, 0.8, 0.9, and I got a couple at 1.4 because I was just at that point, like, I'm still getting the value I want. But sometimes you can get too cute with the offers is my point. Like, if you have a low price, like 0.8 was below my price, and I'm still trying to get even lower. So when you have, when you hit your price point on either a buy or a sell, you have to kind of learn to just take it and be a little more disciplined and not try to get too perfect.
I got way too cute with it. And I actually am pretty happy that the NFT market, you know, is smartening up enough that this didn't retrace back to sub one ETH again, even though I personally would have really liked it to, and I would have been able to buy more at that point. The fact that the market, people like Gary V, woke up to this and said 500 supply, you know, one ETH, one and a half ETH, V friends type model, you know, proof type model, you know, 25-year-old phenom creator from the music business. There's going to be a music business NFT at some point. I'm happy that the market woke up. I hope that people forget about this in like 3 weeks and I can buy another one for like 1.5 or less, but you know, we'll see. Either way, I'm glad I have one. Nick, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
I'm not happy that I don't have one, but we have some breaking news here. Mune Ape Yacht Club, it's now officially at a 30th floor. Shout out to my mutants.
Bravo to all the mutants out there.
Hey, Nick, Pio, give us your best mutant sound.
I don't have one. I don't have one. You put me on the spot with that. I would have been better off having me do like a Gary V impression.
I know Captain Kicks can do a mutant sound. See, there we go.
Nice. Well, hey, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming to such a smart show. We really hope you're enjoying this NFT market and trade discussion. Micah Johnson is going to be on the show shortly. Very, very exciting. The Akutar pump has been absolutely face melting. Even myself, who has been holding Aku, the Moon God NFTs since February 2021, when I bought them on Nifty Gateway, I see Griffin Cock Foster, one of the co-founders of Nifty Gateway, in the crowd. Also, the person that introduced me to NFTs when he and his brother went on Anthony Pompliano's podcast in late 2020 and, you know, first explained NFTs, I think, to a broader audience. That's what got me into them. Mike is going to be on the show and talking about this face-melting Akutar pump and what is in store. So that's going to be really exciting. In the meantime, though, we got Vicky with her hand raised. What's going on, Vicky?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I was going to say about the mutant floor, I definitely think there is some inside information because about 10, 12 hours ago, I started to see from, obviously everyone was focused on Moonbirds, I started to see my world of women start to get offers and they're random offers and they're every kind of like 20 minutes coming in. So there's definitely the fact that that was like there was non-existent, no offers for world of women. And I'm talking like all of my ones, not just my tuxedo ladies. So, and then this morning I've had offers come in for my dog. So whether that's a ripple effect, I think it's more likely the fact that I've heard through the grapevine that obviously tomorrow will be 420. And I know numerous projects are doing all sorts of things. So on the back end of that also, the fact there's going to be a lot of surprises tomorrow, just as a shout out to everybody to stay safe tomorrow. Don't click FOMO into Stealth Mint links, because I'm sure there are going to be some surprises from projects tomorrow, but just stay safe with all your shit.
And yeah, we don't advocate drug use on the Nifty Morning Alpha show, but if you are partaking in some of the festivities of 420, there is a high correlation between marijuana use and paranoia. So one of the things that you're going to have to worry about is that you're going to smoke so much that you're going to think that all NFTs are a scam. And you're going to want to start just listing everything and just getting out of the market entirely. You're going to want to fight that. You're going to fight that feeling. And you have two options. One is unplug your computer. Two is to try to smoke more just to get past that paranoia stage and just into pure raw enlightenment. Once again, we do not advocate drug use of any form on the Nifty Morning Alpha. Thank you.
Thank you,
you actually,
Kicks, for the
to
warning.
Offset all of that, Kicks, and to get further clarity, you just take some mushroom caps and then you'll see perfectly.
Okay. All right. Perfect, guys. Well, we have our special guest, the guest of the hour, Micah Johnson, the moon god creator himself. Micah, how's it going, man?
What's up, man? How's everybody doing today?
Doing great, especially now that you're here. What a face-melting pump this has been.
You guys are happy, huh?
Pio is. Pio is. The rest of us that aren't owning it are not happy, Micah. So can you do something about we appreciate having you on here to cast FUD on your own project.
Damn, man. I was just in here a couple weeks ago, man. I've been telling you.
I know. We actually did have a conversation, and I'm like, wow, this guy is like as professional as it gets and is going to absolutely crush it with this project. And I was like, I'm gonna sit on the sidelines and instead buy the top of Moonbirds. That's what I'm gonna do.
That's the right call,
Nick. If you really want to think about it, if you had bought 7 ETH worth of Micah Johnson's project,
let's not think about that. Let's not.
I mean, look, what I will say though, like Micah, I just mentioned everyone. I've been holding, Aku assets since February 2021. Got long-term cap gains on, I think, 3 of them at this point. Bought almost all of them at mint. I've never sold any of them. Not even I expected the pump right now to be this crazy. But the way that you architected it was brilliant, man. Like, how intentional was the space between, the airdrop, the next snapshot? Like, can you kind of talk about what went into that?
Honestly, I think that what I realized was chapters were really confusing for people. And so we went a whole year kind of under the radar just because of the design of that mechanic, and people just didn't understand it was PFPs. And so what I really needed to do, and I've always said this since day one, I needed to evaluate the market to set the price for Akutars. I always said the market would decide the price. And I knew the chapters wouldn't give us a real price for the Akutars. So I'm not playing, dude. Literally like at 5:30 in the morning, I woke up and I was like, oh wait, what about airdrop passes? And then just pass it around, and that worked. And that's really the idea was behind it. It was for the market to evaluate the market and let people trade on something that they understood versus chapters.
Yeah, and we were kind of talking about how I really think that the fact that this is now a collectibles collection, I think people kind of understand it more, even though if you were in early enough, you totally understand the chapters. But I do agree with you that the broader market, maybe there was a little bit of confusion. Mm-hmm. But not only is the collectible nature of this, I think, leading to the absolutely crazy level of interest in the space, but also, the video that you recently put out kind of showing the mechanics and showing the people that are involved with the project got a ton of people super excited, and rightfully so. Do you want to talk about that at all? Like, I'd love to know more about how you kind of thought of that and how that played out.
Yeah. So the partnerships, this is a good chance to talk about how those really came together, because there's a common through line through all of them. Like, those are deep relationships that have been formed, and it they're all connected. So this isn't, I'm going to be very clear, this isn't like some brand coming in because they like NFTs. This is a deep connections that run for a long time together. And these brands are actually thinking of really interesting ways to bring what they do into the Aku community. And it's not just these brands designing traits. It's literally, hey, sit down, you guys like this. Aku's dope. How can we support? And then, oh, we love the way that we can engage with your community. How can we do this? And how can we bring what we do best to this? And so this came about from back in February when Summer Watson reached out to Pusha T, who also is a moon god, and was like, showed Push Aku before the drop and Upscale Vandal. And they've been rocking ever since. And so when it came to, who we want to bring in for the Akutar project, Push, obviously, with BBC and Ice Cream, growing up with Pharrell, that's a no-brainer. Planes, Upscale helps Planes out, helps Puma out. Who Decides War, right next door to Upscale, And so all these, common connections is really just deep relationships. And so it's just about, it kind of embodies the ethos of Aku, where it's just like, they see Aku as a platform for them. Okay, great. Our community, everybody, it's just a platform. It's a tool at this point for people to use. And that's what's really special. I think you see it in the video, like Emery Jones talking about like Aku is us, right? Like that's Emery Jones, man. Like this isn't, you know, I don't think there's anybody mentioning NFTs because that's not what this is about.
Yeah, it's a proper IP play is the way that I look at it. And, you know, in the sense that so many NFT projects, they try to say like, well, we're developing the IP. It's going to be a TV show. It's going to be a movie. Correct me if I'm wrong. Aku is the first NFT project to get commissioned for a major motion picture with a legit studio, right?
Yeah, but I definitely want to address that too, because that's the important part about IP. You can't force someone to like the character. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care. The hardest part is creating something people actually resonate with. I think that is by far the hardest part. You can have $1 billion and not ever create something that just people care about, right? And I'm talking about wide stream audiences care, where there's no monetary attachment to it. It's just, this is something I care about, I like, and I want to support. And so when it comes to the film, what I eventually realized is that in order to really drive the value to the Aku community and build a ecosystem that is robust and is all encompassing, film, TV, events, parks, virtual spaces, that we had to do it independently. Because when it comes to distribution, you're required to at this point sell the IP, and I'm not doing that. Like that's not what this is about. That's not why we are in this position. And so we ended up having that deal expire, brought in some incredible people who have built franchises and oversaw franchises and worlds to develop this independently. And so we're currently developing the film now, really close on finishing that story. And then we'll begin test sequences in the visual language later after everybody gets like 2 week break after the Akutar project, the creative team that is. And then we have some exciting stuff we're doing from a content perspective at the end of the year, some incredible partners. So we're doing it independently. It's a long answer short.
Well, that's incredible, man. And you know, the fact that you're holding the IP, I think it says it all. And that's what Web3 is all about. You know, I want to definitely talk about the creative team, because I think a lot of people just don't understand, you know, the business that you're running and the way that you're approaching this. I tweet all the time about how so many NFT projects, right, the founders just end up taking all the money and running with it, right? And when I look at Akutar and what I know that you're doing over there, just couldn't be further from the truth. I don't know if this is public info, but could you share some details about the team that built Akutars and is working on Aku?
Yeah, so Spiros, I can't pronounce his last name, Sugunis, you can Google him, is the production manager on it. Spiros has basically ran production on several incredible animated films. It was over at Skybound, one of the top, producers or project managers in the whole space. So we brought him in to spearhead this. Then we brought in, he scaled the team up to over 40 artists and technical artists. And technical is an important part of this, because the artists are incredible. They all come from backgrounds in Hollywood. They all have worked on pretty much any animated film at this point. A lot of people came over from Lucasfilm, IML. But the technical team is also important, because these Akutars, as beautiful as they are, they were built in Unreal Engine. And they needed to be built in Unreal Engine, because it'll enable us to go from Akutars to a robust ecosystem in a virtual world quicker without technical debt. And so we wanted to scale the team and do this right now, like, and not have to go back and make 3D assets and rig them and all that. We'll just do it now.
And so properly metaverse.
Yeah, like that's why we did it. Like there's not, people need to understand, we've had 14 months to do this. Like we've had 14 months of work and building. The Akutars is just a part of it that happens on this day. Then we just go back in the office and keep building what we're building. And so that was the whole point of scaling the team that way. And so big was it just eliminates needing to scale again and just keeps us, you know, building through what we're actually building.
Yeah. And what I was saying, I think I got cut off, was just it's properly metaverse ready. Like, people talk about metaverse mm-hmm. ready, but these things are like properly metaverse ready. You know, do you feel like, and I, you know, it might be tough for you to say this as the creator, but do you feel like for the past year, like from February 2021, when the first, you know, the Genesis Aku chapter came out, you know, up until really, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, do you feel like Aku was kind of like the best kept secret in the NFT space in a lot of ways? Like, because that's how I feel, but I might be biased, but, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you still have a lot of people. I think it's about 60 to 70% of the NFT trading community doesn't know Aku. I think that's a fair assessment at this point. Partially, you know, the chapter mechanic, I get it. You know, people were flipping, you know, turned up turtles and whatever that is, but I get that's confusing. But on the other hand, I don't know the answer, man. Like Deez yesterday was like, you know, obviously I don't think their marketing is that good. And I explained, like, look, like, here's a lot of articles from a lot of big publications about us. Like, we were, us and Dapper Labs were Fast Company's most innovative companies of 2022. It was like, those were the only two companies that were in, you know, the Web3 space that were on that list. And people still don't know about Aku. And I think it's just because I don't know. You guys probably have a better answer and probably more advice than I have at this point.
Well, I mean, look, it's going pretty well right now. It's pretty gnarly to see what's been happening over the past week. Jesse, you have your hand raised. Was there something you wanted to ask Micah?
I mean, a couple things. I mean, one, I was going to ask about the team and like where you get the money from. But since you're talking about marketing and obviously the project's grown now, Signal and PO have been pumping your project since like day one. So if there's any, you know, insider parties, they got to get a VIP pass. But
for the most in Miami part,
I think some of, I mean, so for me, I got in because PO was nagging us like every day about this project. We seriously wouldn't shut up about it. I finally went on Nifty Gateway, which I hated. I might have put in my credit card. I don't know what I did. I think I paid with like actual US dollars, God forbid. And so I finally got on there. I got an Aku, which was great. I ended up getting the airdrop. I couldn't even find it, which was great because then I couldn't paper hand it like I always do. But I wonder, now I see that the team seems to have, is encouraging people now to come to OpenSea, which is pretty much where all the action is. Some people hate OpenSea for other reasons, but now that you're scaling open, I'm curious what you think about just all the platforms in general. There was Nifty Gateway good? Was it good at the time? Would you rather just have no platform and go direct to consumer? Like, how do you think about now that the project really is going mainstream, how do you think about sort of interacting with the platforms and all that stuff?
I just think you can use them all. I think that's the answer. Our audience base is very non-crypto. Like, I had to teach like 10 people the other day like what a MetaMask was. It's very non-crypto. So Nifty Gateway has enabled a lot of people to onboard into NFTs, into the Aku ecosystem, and it's at this point is, you know, it's really changed a lot of people's lives. And so you have that element, and then you have OpenSea, where you can tap into people in non-custodial and be able to connect to people's wallets and reward them, airdrop them, connect to sites. You know, there's different things you can do with OpenSea. Same things, different things you can do with the Coinbase audience. We did something with FTX in Miami. I think you can use them all if you know what you're kind of know how to navigate it a little bit.
Yeah, Nifty Gateway onboarded me and Kix on stage. Right. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Nifty Gateway, and your project was one that I bought in my first week.
Right, exactly.
Hey, Signal, you are a fellow moon god. What's going on?
I am a fellow moon god, and I'm a moon god who's going to be in London this weekend. Right. And okay, I'm going to Oxford Street to show some friends the character of Aku, who I've been telling them, this is the astronaut boy. You need to go check out this project. So now they've got no excuse. But I wanted to ask Micah, when this project is said and done in sort of, I don't know how many years time, but you're looking back and Aku has become a character like we look back on Winnie the Pooh, Harry Potter, you know, the legends of characters that have lived. What do you wish for Aku?
I wish that Aku becomes a character that everybody feels like is them, and that it becomes, you know, every kid is inspired by Aku, learns something through Aku's story path, things that we do from, you know, elevating other people, inspiring people, impactful people, using Aku as a conduit, that every kid is inspired, and that it becomes this thing where nobody knows that, like, I created it. That it becomes so tentacles everywhere that people can't point back to their origin. I think that's my dream.
You want to, you know, create something that's bigger than yourself.
Yeah, yeah, we're really close. I'll be honest with you. I think we're really close.
Oh, I thought you said "or really close," like you were saying, like, no, 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 Micah Johnson no. still has to be number one, motherfucker.
No. I think we're really close to that being happening, where, you know, it's Puma doing it, it's Planes doing it, you got Pharrell doing it, you know, you name it, like, and people are just not going to, you know who I am. That's the goal.
That's incredible, man. You know, people in our Discord are bugging me to ask you about Vayner Sports, and I have 10 of those too. So I was pretty delighted to hear that you were collaborating with Vayner Sports when they announced that, you know, in the past week or so. Can you share anything about that drop?
Yeah, so we're going to do some special, you know, Aku NFTs that are, all I can say is they'll be connected to the Vayner Sports kind of ecosystem. And really highlighting that. So some special Aku stuff for pass holders as well. It's going to be dope.
Hell yeah. And so the public, so tomorrow morning is the snapshot, right? So I think we can expect a lot of action between now and then. And then the public mint is on Friday. Is that right?
Yeah. But stay close on some stuff. We got to make an announcement here on some things moving around. I think we've been really watching the market over the past 48 hours. And, you know, just one, we're trying to make the best decision possible. Because I always said the market will decide, but it's getting to a point now where some decisions have to be made. And we're working through some mechanics now. So the public sale will still be on Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay. Well, I mean, the decisions that you made so far have been on the money. Nick, how much FOMO are you feeling right now? Can you kind of, like, you know, let us know? You bought the top on Moonbirds. You sold your ape coin. You don't have any Aku. You okay right now? Like, how you doing?
There's a literal fire alarm going off in the hotel that I'm in, and that's probably reflective of the current state of my portfolio. And so what I'd like to do at this point in time is kind of just step away for a moment and find out if we can find a sort of someone responsible for putting out fires, because that's kind of the irony is the Moonbird that I bought has literal flame on its head. And so I think that was just kind of we'll look back on this as a historical moment for my portfolio. But I'm definitely missing out on Micah Johnson's project at this point. And like I said at the beginning, I don't think we really need to dwell on it and come back to it again, just to emphasize the fact that, yeah, I fucked up. Okay. And so now what I'm trying to figure out, here's my move. And I don't want to project negative things on your floor here, Micah, but I think, like, my trade here is I'm waiting for the reveal. So I feel like a lot of things end up pumping up to reveal. This may not work out for me, but I'm hoping that there's at least a temporary lull in the price that enables me to sweep in and just absolutely conquer and corner the market.
Oh, man. Hey, I'm cheering for you, man. I'm cheering for you, man. You guys have been gracious, man. You let me in. I'm cheering for you, man. But I got to be honest, man. We've been doing this. We've been going at this for over a year now, man. This is like, the launch is just a thing.
Well, Micah, I had four ETH to buy into your project, and then Pio told me to buy Fuck Render avatars instead. So now I'm broke, and I couldn't get in. So.
I did not do that.
And Pio told me not to buy this one. Literally, he was like, "I think the price will go down some." So this,
I don't remember that either. I feel like it will just.
I remember that you did say that this was going to go down.
What?
Pio, man, they're throwing you under the bus.
Yeah, they definitely are. I mean, like I said, I didn't think it was going to, like, you know, pump this way, but obviously I'm a huge.
Yeah, and then
Nick,
you come after me.
Not to buy the thing, dude.
Then you
like, what are you talking about?
That's basically what you said.
to be fair to Pio, yesterday when talking about Moonbirds, I said to him, you know, right now the last sale for an Akuta Mega OG was 22 ETH. You could sell that and get a Moonbird. And Pio was like, no way in hell am I ever doing that. Preposterous. Exactly.
Well, yeah, I think clearly, as we think through the mechanics, and we've been, I honestly think we've been in meetings for like 48 hours straight now. I think this is definitely a scenario we didn't see going into it. But because we had some levers we were getting ready to pull before, and we're like, huh, I think we can hold those back. So I think it's exciting for everybody.
I mean, I could see that, man. And like the things that people should know, just that I've observed from being a holder, is that number one, the listing percentage on the chapters for the whole year was incredibly low. And people would always call that out. People would like share charts and show that Aku's holders were like top five, you know, most diamond handed in the space. I think it makes sense. Like I didn't sell a single one, you know, and it's been 14 months, right? And then the other thing is that like the long-term conviction, you know, Nick's talking about the reveal. Most projects have a dip after reveal. However, you do see crazy pumps after reveal. Azuki had a crazy pump after reveal. And, you know, I feel like if you got levers too, I just really can't wait to see what happens, man. So it's just going to be so exciting. And I'm just so happy that, you know, we get this kind of like coming out party in many ways. And it's almost, you know, no one's going to remember that, you know, the chapters were around for a year and maybe weren't at the front and center in the NFT ecosystem. People are just going to remember this face melting pump and everything that comes afterwards. You know, Micah, as a collector, I know you're busy as hell working all the time on Aku, but we always like to, when we talk to artists, when we talk to creators, you know, we like to talk to them about what they actually buy, sell, collect. Any artists or any NFT collections that you've bought that you're still holding on to, or any big sales you've made?
You know, I really like Cyber Brokers. I think any chance I get to talk about that team over there, I think they're elite. So I love Cyber Brokers. What else? You know, I got into, obviously, you know, I had a Bored Ape that was in the chapter. But yeah,
Cyber Broker is a great one. I'd say just double down, triple down on that. Just tell everyone to buy that.
All right, Kicks has Cyber Brokers, Micah.
Yeah, Cyber Brokers, the team is incredible. I got it. Like, I think that, we're at a phase now where it's serious. Like this is business, man. Like, this is real. You got to be building something real. This isn't like play around anymore. I think people are tired of the play around. And now it's go time. You got everybody coming, you know, you got all these Web2 companies with a lot of infrastructure and capital coming. So now, like, just going tapping in back into my kind of like sports competitiveness, it's like, now's the time to really, you know, double and triple down on the thing that you're building long term. And also, so that's what I like. That's why I love Cyber Brokers, just because I know some of those people over there, and I just know they're innovative. So I think that's kind of, I haven't had the time, and I haven't had the spoils like many of you had to trade over the past year.
I mean, we see it, man. We see the work that you're putting in. And what we've been talking about is, like, now that Moonbirds has come out, obviously Moonbirds has kind of captured the attention of the NFT space. And for a lot of the sort of PFP plays, the art plays, people are now asking, okay, well, you know, what else is there besides like the art, right? Because there's like this kind of desire for utility. You're seeing mm-hmm. some artists get frustrated with it. And I totally understand that, because if you're buying like one of one art or something, that's not what it is. But when I look at this with Aku, I'm like, the utility is this IP. Like, this is a real IP situation. And you're betting on a creator that has been working, you know, incredibly hard to build something over the past 14 months, you know, like professional athlete, work ethic and pedigree. I guess anything else to add about the project, you know, before we kind of,
I think it's also like, I get like, yeah, the IP is great and it's going to be, you know, great. It's building. We're doing a lot of great things already from reaching a passive audience base, right? They could just consume and enjoy Aku. But we're also very, you know, I've been in NFTs a long time now, and so has Summer Watson, my partner in this. we also understand that you got to do things within the Web3 ecosystem, you know, to keep this, keep to engage the community, right? Like, it's all nice and fun when we're building out a film, but, you know, films take 2 years, right? And how does that apply to anything, right? Or so nice and fun when you're building out, you know, a TV series, that's nice and fun, right? But one of the, like, the elements of this is that Summer Watson, coming from her gaming background, you know, ran games over at Playdom that was acquired by Disney. The teams element is something that nobody has talked about yet, and we haven't talked about yet from in the Akatar's ecosystem, and how we are incorporating a level of game within the ecosystem. And so each light underneath the helmet dictates what team you're on. So when Akutars come out, you'll see a light. You can go look at the lights on Akutars now. There's 5 different lights that extrude from the helmet. Those are teams, and they apply to team names. And running that is going to be really fun, like really, really fun, where you're engaging competitive games amongst teams, and you got partners, each brand partners on a team as well. That's an element of this that...
Which person do you have from Playdom?
Summer Watson.
Oh, wow. Okay. I remember them from the Facebook gaming days. They came in like sort of, they started after Zynga and some of the other pre-existing players, but built up quite an impressive portfolio of games. So you're building out, is this like a blockchain gaming like thing that you're building, or a play to earn, or like what?
Think of it as like social games where periodically through the year we'll run different games and challenges within the teams, and creating this kind of ecosystem. I think one thing that Summer always harps on is that building a game is really hard. Obviously a good game is really hard and requires a lot of capital, but social games sometimes in the simplest games are some of the most successful. And so that ecosystem that is being built congruently as what everything else we're doing is fascinating. That's her department. Like she can't wait to get through the drop so she can get Rocket.
Yeah, and we're building social games that way too in our Discord. And I agree with you. That's like what people have the most fun with. I have a question. Micah, can you and me be on Pusha T's team? Because that'd be a pretty cool team, right?
Dude, yeah. I mean...
That sounded like no. That was like, yo.
Minus PO. Yeah, that. Minus the PO part. It's real cool.
Yeah, man. Weren't you just saying, man, dump the floor, man? Was that you?
No, I did not say that. Everyone's making that up. Why would I be saying that?
No, man. There's a lot of great people on each team, man. It's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun.
You know which team you got to be on, Micah?
What's that?
That's the Nifty Portal team. Like, what you're? I don't know that you're on it yet. We had AJ on the floor AJ on the show last week. Look, when you compare floor prices, our floor price versus your floor price, there's no comparison. It's incomparable, primarily because our project has no corresponding anything associated with it other than the fact that it's an NFT. But that said, you should join that team.
Okay. I'm with it.
You mentioned that your team has like 40 people. Sorry, Pio. And obviously, you have these game developers. You obviously have like a real staff. It's not like a normal NFT project where it's like three people and a Solidity developer, and like they really rely on secondary market and the NFTs. Do you even? I'm assuming you've raised money obviously elsewhere, probably first. Do you even view NFTs as like a revenue driver, or is it literally just more of a social way to create interest in Web3?
So to answer your question, because I think you asked this earlier about how do we afford to do that. Well, we did do 10 chapters, you know, prior to this, and so we, you know, obviously used that capital to do what we're doing now, and scale and develop film independently, and then do I look at NFTs as a revenue driver? Of course, a revenue driver, of course. Like, in order to fund any major production independently, you need revenue. But at the same time, what I really look at NFTs as, and this is why over the past year when Aku wasn't mainstream, where I never really got too frustrated was because I look at NFTs as a chance for people to have exposure to this ecosystem that we're building. And what I get the most joy out of is watching people win and winning together. Like, it's very uninteresting if this was just, you know, a typical media company play and value is securing to the top. I think it's way more fascinating when everybody can have exposure to something like this and fully confident in every single person we have across every division to execute on this ecosystem. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, I mean, it's so awesome, man. And people in our Discord are saying that they wish that I talked about this project more. I'm just saying to them, I couldn't have talked about it more.
Okay.
People would have yelled at me.
I don't think anyone said that.
Literally, that's what they're saying in the Discord now. And Micah, we'd love to have you in there. I think everybody would freak out. When AJ went in, everyone went berserk. We'd love to get you a portal. But yeah, any closing thoughts on what people can expect this week and in the weeks to come?
Yeah, we'll make the announcement soon today around drop mechanics. And then, the public sale goes up on Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern time. And then after that, it's just back to work. I think what we've got this past week, we had to hit pause on everything else we were building just to focus on this. But then it's just on. Then it's just go time. And I think it's going to be really fun to finally see a lot of the people who are behind the scenes on this and watch the way that partners integrate into the community, watch the way the team's mechanics develop. And then it's just a lot of exciting stuff. A lot of exciting stuff here coming up soon.
Sounds incredible, man. Everybody, check out Aku Tars. Check out Aku the Moon God series. Me, Micah, and Pusha T are going to be on the same team. We're all friends. I'm friends with Pusha T, everybody. But yeah, seriously, Micah, thanks for coming on the show, man. Would love to have you in the portal. Otherwise, I'll see you in the Moon God Discord chat, obviously, you know?
Flex on him. I'll hop in there, man. I'll see you guys.
Thank you, man. Oh, our pleasure. Check out Micah's stuff, everybody. And stay tuned because there's going to be a lot of action. I'm going to let some more people on stage. We're going to go straight from Micah to me eviscerating Justin Fredericks, who I just let on stage because he got me to buy an Omnichain Mosquito NFT the other day. And I haven't had a chance to really address that with him. Explain yourself, Justin.
Wait a second. You completely skip over the fact that a week before I told you to get into the tiny dinos and you could have made 35 ETH in 1 week. I was just explaining they were innovating on Omnichain. I never said buy it. The mosquitoes were eaten up by the dinos 100%. And now the dinos are infected too and they're going downwards. First of all, I just want to mention something about Micah and Aku. His experience at last year's Art Basel was by far the most mesmerizing, immersive exhibit I've ever, like, that plus Rafik Anadol's exhibits that I've ever been to, like, put aside NFTs, like, it was like you were walking into his digital art. It was fascinating, the best e-commerce meets like retail store I've ever experienced. So his IRL stuff's going to be pretty amazing too. Just wanted to put that out there.
I'm sure it is. And I'm sure if you went to that event, no one was telling you to buy Omni mosquitoes. So it does sound like a pretty good event. No, I'm just
one thing. Okay. So
I mean, dude, I was on stage literally saying this Omni chain stuff is a bunch of bullshit. So I mean, not to fade. Look, we need people out there building the infrastructure in this space, but we're like buying into like the future of something. This is coming from somebody who consistently buys the top. But let me just say, Omnichain is such a distant future. It just feels so distant, because it's not solving an immediate need, but you know it is an inevitable need. How much did you lose there, Pia?
Sorry, I was DMing Micah because we're friends. Okay. I lost like 0.05 or 0.06, which is not
wow,
a lot.
Wow, what a loss.
Yeah, but I don't like to buy stupid stuff anymore.
I don't think you lost anything because you learned about Omnichain and cross-chain. You paid for education, right?
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah, I learned not to listen to Justin Fredericks when he comes. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, so here's a little bit of – I'm so hesitant to – this is not a buy recommendation, but
– sounds like it is.
This is a under the radar project that's finally getting some momentum, and they potentially could be a competitor in like the Web3 streetwear world. It's the Inbetweeners, and the background of that, it's led by John Piero, who's Justin Bieber's partner in Drew House, you know, Bieber's streetwear brand, and he's the lead designer and main guy on that project. Earlier this week, they announced that there's going to be a Dolce & Gabbana collab coming up through that UNFX, whatever platform that arranges all those high-end collabs. So it's finally seeing some movement. And so it's just one to keep an eye on. It's still kind of low below 0.5 that potentially could make a play for that kind of metaverse streetwear brand.
So I love it. One of my favorite things is when white guys in their 30s and 40s talk about streetwear. Jesse knows
we're
that.
The best.
So that's like the number one source that you want for streetwear. We got Depeche Mode. Depeche, anything a note, anything to add to the streetwear conversation? We got Jonah next too. All the white guys here. What's going on, Jonah?
I'm the wrong guy to ask. I literally wear black.
What are you talking about?
Every single day I wear the same black shirt and black pants.
You live in
my
New York?
My only question is what exactly does in-betweeners mean? Like, is this like an innuendo for something, or what is that?
Yeah, it's not on either side. They're just right in the middle, you know?
Risky joke. In-betweeners was the one that Justin Bieber pumped hard, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's kind of involved in the creative process. Like, John Piero posts FaceTime messages, etc. There's this kind of everyone's really paying attention to this mystery part of the roadmap that says the Justin Bieber portion of the roadmap that's so unclear and so vague. But really, it started moving this week only because of the announcement of the Dolce & Gabbana collab.
You know, I think the Dolce & Gabbana collab, that's definitely a good sign. I always feel like celebrities, that's a huge risk one way or the other, right? I don't know. How many times do we have a drop that goes extremely well with a big name celebrity and they last?
That
was very 2021. It's true. We laughed everyone out of the space, right? It was always like, no, get out. You know, this is Web3. Get out of our, you know, get off our corner, basically. But we're already seeing that a little bit start to change, whether it's Moonbirds. Okay, that's not a celebrity, but sort of, but still coming in. Cartons, a bunch of other things are starting. This is what we always talk about. You have to always revisit priors in this space because there's such a small sample size and such little precedent that I think it's possible to pull off. And especially now that we're in fake utility phase, like if you can have any credibility at all, a project like this, and we should probably look for them in the Discord. There's probably a couple other ones that were like near dead that are like zombie projects that could get life now that there's like, okay, we actually want a name behind the project now. We don't just want an anonymous PFP team. We want somebody in the real world who's done something that has money, that has capital. So it's worth thinking if there's another in-betweeners out there.
And yeah, just to be clear, it's not just like Bieber slapping his name on it. It came from, you know, the creative designer of Drew House, which is a successful offline brand, you know?
I think that's the key difference, right? I mean, looking at like Kevin Rose and Micah, you know, Micah's a perfect example that he was demonstrated that he's involved in the space, right, over time. So I think that's the key.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how all that stuff plays out. Right now, the heat is on if you're going to do something that doesn't have deep fake utility, as Jesse is calling it. I would call it more, you know, trending closer to real utility. Wappy, you got your hand raised. What's going on?
I actually forgot what I was going to say, so you can come back.
Nice. I'm glad you're ready for the cameras. Jonah, what's going on?
Yo.
Yo.
Everseed. That's it.
Co-sign. We love Solana.
Co-sign the endorsement.
Yeah, so you brought up Everseed before it had even launched. I think you were like, I'm going to interview the guy that made it.
I was the first one to interview them.
Yep, and that was like a month before, you know, like the Twitter had just come out, basically. So what's the story? Like, you know, what's the deal with Everseed? Like, how do we get exposure to it? I know Ben Green from our Discord, shout out Ben Green, one of our mods, super excited about it. Like, you know, what's the deal?
They're minting on Wednesday. So tomorrow is Wednesday. Yeah, so on 4:20 at 4:20 p.m., you know, I'm on the allow list. I don't know if anyone else has an ability to, but I'm going to give him my money. That's that simple.
Okay. And is
I'm worried, though, about it, Jonah, to be completely honest. I mean, from the Soul ecosystem, seeing a 10K game release, yes, it has high quality, and it seems like this team is more competent than many. But the big issue is any delay from a game at any point causes that floor to tank and people to exit. And on top of it, too, Soul's still in its, like, infancy. So if you're buying these 10K games, you almost have to be completely comfortable sitting on those bags for a very extended period of time until there's a market uptick or until the game goes live. Like, we've seen things like Bitmon, Sugar Realm, even Metawana with game delays and only teasers really affecting that price action in a negative way.
Yeah, well, I'll say, one, most of their announcements or their reveals have been more art direction-wise. They've been somewhat very close to the chest about doing game reveals, but it does give me Farmville vibes, which is good because it intersects across multiple markets. The most successful games actually in Web 2 are not shooters. They're not MMOs. They're not some crazy, you know, bullshit, you know, genre. It's actually like something like a Mario Kart or Animal Crossing or something that's friendly, that is multi-demographic based. And everyone wants to be Call of Duty, but not a lot of people want to be Farmville. And these people are former Riot Games. The CEO is former Goldman Sachs, and I'm not worried about their finances because I already know they have you know, private capital invested. Because when I interviewed them, that was the first question I asked. I said, assuming you had a poor mint, do you have capital? And they said yes. They took in a round of capital. So I'm happy to sit on my little farmer and you know, watch it go.
Yeah, and so do you have experience buying Solana NFTs, Jonah?
Quite frankly, not nearly as much as I do ETH. This is probably my first major buy-in to a Solana project.
Yeah, so my experience buying Solana NFTs is me and Easy Eats do a Solana video. I ask Easy Eats what I should buy. I buy it. It pumps. I don't sell it. And then it goes down. And Easy's like, yeah, you should have sold that. So I do want to say that you might want to, but I mean, then again, you're holding this for the long term. You believe in it. Don't be surprised if the floor goes down at some point.
I'm going to bet you money the floor will go down on this. I think it will be under mint because it's a game. It's just like how the Soul ecosystem values games right now. We've seen very few maintain price action over mint cost. And it's just because people in Soul, it's such a trader heavy focus right now with the fast transactions and low cost that people are just looking for a quick dollar at this moment. So it's, if you're comfortable sitting on it, I think the best play there is to mint your allocation and then wait to average down below mint to get that cost basis lower and then just sit. Because as soon as they launch something, the hype does cause massive pumps.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you have two exits, well, really three, but it's two, the first two are the most important. With almost every project, by the way, you get about three exits is what I've seen. That seems to be the trend. So you've got the hype before reveal exit opportunity. You've got the, you know, after they release the NFTs, the first big announcement of utility or value, you have that as a potential exit. And then the third is if they keep building and it's maturity, and that's the longer, much longer, longer exit. That most would not be willing to wait for the third. I'm willing to wait for the second exit.
The third is usually the highest yield too. Like, we've seen a few games now that have act, like BR1 did a great job with their ape character collection that launched. It sat at sub 2. As soon as they launched the playable demo, it pumped to 11 and currently sits at a 9 floor, and that took 4.5 months.
Right. Well, I've known BR1 for a year and a half actually. Yep. I know the guy. So that was that's an interesting one. Yeah, but I'm not really concerned about it because the Soul fees are going to be minimal compared to the fucking crazy amount I spend on ETH. So, like, for me, it's not a waste to just throw money at it and let it sit there. And the biggest thing here is most games or most of any of these things are releasing and they don't have, like, backed, you know, venture capital. I mean, the ones that do, they're still in production, but this one does. So, and it's former Riot Games and former Goldman Sachs, which means if they have issues, I'm sure they will have most likely no problem hiring. And so I'll hold past the first exit unless it's extremely juicy, because again, you know, I am, you know, by trade, someone who likes to get a return. But I'm happy to just sit on it and wait for them to reveal the game, which already has great concept art.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I trust Jonah. He's like a high conviction guy, long-term hold. He basically is right like 60, 70% of the time, and that's why he's actually our official fiduciary grade financial advisor. We really appreciate it, Jonah. We'll see you in the courtroom. Wappy, you remembered what you were going to say?
No, but to your point about like Solana and trading with EZ, and you know, I know Jonah's really smart, so this is more just me giving some advice to the ether, and Jonah can choose to take it or not.
Literally one of the best financial advisors we've ever had. So really,
well, hey, financial advisors need to learn some research from some outside consultants every now and then. So my experience on Solana is that this trade, that space trades about 50 times faster than I ever expected it to. I've never been able to like walk away with a profit. So my advice is like have your Excel sheet up, build out a little calculator for like where you break even, and just like be ready to move at lightning speed, because that system is unbelievable how fast people are flipping in that.
All right, well, we're going to wrap in a sec. Nick, what were you going
to
say?
I just wanted to shout out, I can't find him, but our resident beatboxer, Bouvet, who I couldn't add up, sent me a DM. He did have a good call the other week. We'll have him on, I guess, tomorrow. But a week or two ago, he was the one calling a crocolypse at 0.65. And
absolutely
now it's now it's 1.5 ETH. So good call on that. And he'll be back on, I guess, tomorrow, dropping another beatbox and can give us another play. I did not buy in there. But that's only because I don't buy at the bottom of things. Remember that.
Just the top. You should buy now. You should buy now, and then I'll buy in when it pulls back to about 0.9. That sounds good to me. Real quick before we wrap, or Jesse, you have one thing to add real quick?
I just wanted to give a parting shout out to Emmy and the audience from Galverse. It feels like just in the NFT space, that was months away, but that was a big topic on the show.
I think she, at least as far as I'm aware, we're supposed to follow up and get her on the show.
Cool.
Shout out,
I was defending a congratulations on the successful drop, and yeah, looking forward to watching that project grow. So yeah, I'll look out for that show.
Congratulations to Emmy. Very cool artwork for sure. We'll follow up. Nick, were you going to add something?
No, the only thing is definitely provided some great profits on that.
Okay.
I think I still own one though.
Very nice. And then real quick, just one question to Jarito, who I just let on stage, who's on the Lyrical Lemonade team. What do we got to do to get Cole on the show, Jarito?
he's definitely a busy guy these days. So it's definitely one of those things where he kind of pops in randomly. We had him in the spaces yesterday for the weekly AMA, and it's just kind of like timing works. That man is working on 1,000 different things. So, I'll put it in his ear. We'll see. We'll see if we can make it shake.
We like pop-ins. Pop-ins are cool. I like that. He could just pop in, be like, "Hey, Cole, now we're friends. Okay, cool. I'll hang out with you in like 2 Chainz or whoever, you know." It sounds good to me.
Yeah. Hey, I think 2 Chainz is actually on the lineup for Summer Smash. So come to Summer Smash.
Yeah, the lineup's crazy, dude. I mean, like, look, I've been excited about this as soon as Easy Eats brought it to me. Jesse brought it to me. I didn't like it. Easy Eats brought it to me. I liked it a lot. So you know how that works. But yeah, shout out to Micah Johnson today. Shout out to Lyrical Lemonade, Jarito on the team. Another big win for the people that got into that when we talked about it. Yeah, this show is Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. You can also catch it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We also go live on YouTube once every single day, and that also gets uploaded to Apple Podcasts and to Spotify. Usually we have our NFT, which gives you access to our community, our club, you know, our Discord network, pinned to the top, but for some reason Twitter Spaces rugged me on the pin function, so you have to click on my profile or click on Nick's profile to buy it. The floor price has been creeping up. I'm just saying, it's creeping up. So yeah, definitely check out our content. We appreciate you guys all listening. As always, all of our content is sponsored by FTX. So sign up at thenifty.com/FTX on the web app or with the code THENIFTY on the mobile app. And we'll definitely be talking more about how great FTX is in the future for sponsoring us. Hope you enjoyed the show, everybody.